If I had a time machine and I could return to any period of time I would like, where would I go? Well, I know where I would go. I love the roaring 20s. I don't know why I love it, but I just do. And what country would I go to? This might surprise you, but I wouldn't go to the United States. Where I would go would be Berlin, Germany. I don't know why. Post-World War I Germany fascinates me. I love the pseudo-decadence and the cafe society life. And I love the music of Bertolt Brecht. And I loved the literary style of Thomas Mann. I loved the Bauhaus art scene of Germany and design and the outrageous Dada of art, which was emerging at that time. This was called authentic reality in those days. It was in an interesting time. It was through the abolition of what we would call normal traditional culture and aesthetic forms. It really was the time of, you might call it, comic derision. But during this period, irrationality, chance, intuition were guiding principles. Freud was already out. Jung and Adler were in. Life had a kind of cabaret feeling. And the physicist, of course, had been born and raised in that ambiance, in that atmosphere, in that environment, and they were pretty young and enthusiastic. Of course, now Max Planck is now 60. Oh, boy. Einstein had passed his 40th. Bohr was a middle-aged 35. So these are the guys. It was the Dada physics area. And where was it happening? Turned out it was happening in a city called Göttingen, Germany. It was an early summer period of time. And at that time, Professor Niels Bohr had come a-calling. Now, Bohr, and this is in the 20s now, Bohr's great discoveries and so forth were like 1913. So he was a respected figure. And in fact, he was such a respected figure that he was given an institute in Denmark, in Copenhagen, from which we now have, or what physicists refer to, as the Copenhagen School of Physics. So he had come to lecture. Now, in the crowd was a very young guy. He couldn't have been more than 20 years old. And this guy suffered from asthma. Very bright guy, and was very enthused to come to hear Niels Bohr speak. And when he listened, and later afterwards in a book recalled his interesting listening to Bohr's lecture in that mild summer day when Bohr came a-calling to Göttingen, he said he actually had asked Bohr some questions. He said, Bohr must have gathered that my remarks sprang from some profound interest in his atomic theory. He replied hesitantly and asked me to join him in the afternoon on a walk over the Hain Mountain, which we took. The walk was to have profound repercussions on my thinking and even on my whole scientific career. Or perhaps it is more correct to say that my real scientific career began on that afternoon. Bohr's remark reminded me that atoms were not things. Who was this guy? His name was Werner Heisenberg, and he was the discoverer of something which was later called the principle of indeterminism, or the principle of uncertainty, or for short, the uncertainty principle. If atoms were not things, then what the heck were they? Heisenberg had completely broken with classical tradition at this point. He was really the first to see that in order to really understand this thing we call quantum physics, we have to give up our reluctance to accept the new ideas which have sprung forth. Atoms were not things. They were not objects. There was something involving mind in a new way. And it was this new way of seeing that really led him to formulate the uncertainty principle. Now, what does the uncertainty principle really say? It says that in the act of looking at something, you disturb it. You can't look without changing. You can't look without changing. Now, in Zen Buddhism, there's an old koan which has to do with how do you remove a thorn? And the answer is you use another thorn. Well, that's interesting. But you see, in removing the thorn, you cause more damage than the original thorn because you have to use another thorn. In other words, you can't remove a thorn without changing things by using another thorn. In the Heisenberg world picture, anything we used to look at what's going on disturbed what's going on. Now, what is that like? Well, I want you to imagine that you live in a world which is habitated by elves. Little tiny creatures are running around. Little elves, these little tiny guys and gals are running around. And you're a big lummox. You're a big guy. You're a human being. You know, but you live in the world. These elves, they're all over the place. And one day they invite you to tea. That's kind of dumb. I mean, you're a big guy, and he's a little tiny. And how the hell is that? Are you going to go into their house? But they say, no, come to tea. And so you decide, okay, I'll go to tea. So you go to have tea with the little tiny elves, and the minute you open up the door to their little house to try to get in, the very act that you have of grabbing hold of that little door and opening the door shakes the house so badly that all the elves inside are spilled all over the place. The tea goes all over the place, and the tables go all over the place. Everything's all upset. And they're very mad, these little elves. In fact, anytime you try to grab a cup of tea, you either get it and crush it out of existence, or you miss it entirely because, you know, the so tiny. And anytime you try to, you know, do anything with the elf house, it just jumps and jigs and zags and bumps and jumps and you know, it's just all over the place. In fact, it's so much all over the place that you don't really know whether the elves actually live in a house like you imagine the house to look like your house at all. Because all you ever see is jumpily. You never see any real little house just sitting there. Because anytime you try to look at it, you got to do something to look at it. You got to grab hold of it. You got to see it. And you got to use light. And whatever you use to look at it causes it to jump around. Is there really an elf house out there? Or is there only out there what we imagined to be out there? This is what the Heisenberg uncertainty principle brought us to have to face. It said that maybe there's something else going on out there and that we need to discover what that is.